Matthew chapter 15. The message today is the prayers of three mothers. I want to read several passages, starting with Matthew 15, verse 21. And Jesus went out thence and withdrew into the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanitish woman came out from these borders and cried, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But she said, Yea, Lord, for even the little dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it done unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed from that hour. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting at verse 4, Paul says, I have been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. For which cause I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Now, let's turn to 1 Samuel. This is the story about the rivalry of two women, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah has children, Hannah has none. And it says in verse 6, And her rival provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 9, So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest was sitting upon his seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now old Eli is 93 years old, and he's half blind. And it says in verse 13 that Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah protests and says, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And then verse 17, Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find favor in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. That's enough. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the precious treasures that was given us in the Word of God. That was said about those that have become disciples to the kingdom of heaven, that they are like unto a man that bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. We are thankful that thou hast given us treasures from the Word of God, and they are ours, and we cherish them, and we would buy the truth and sell it not. And from the portions that we've read and other portions that we desire to consider, we pray, our God, that thou shalt bless our souls. Teach us about the prayers of these three mothers, and may they, as you from your scripture would have them, teach us the lessons contained therein. We thank you for all the blessings bestowed upon us, and we look to thee for another blessing this morning. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Ordinarily, God holds up men as examples of those who can pray effectually. It was read to us this morning. Elijah was a man of like passions, but he prayed. And I remember that in Jeremiah, God says this, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people. But in James chapter 5, here was another man of prayer, Elijah. And though, under certain circumstances, God would not listen to even men of the stature of Moses and Samuel, yet, in the case of Elijah, Elijah looked over the situation in Israel, and he said, O God, let it not rain for 3.5 years. And God listened to the voice of Elijah, and there was no rain for that period of time. And then again, he understood that it was time for rain to be given by God, and he prayed to God, and it gave rain. I mention those things to you because if you read certain portions in the Word of God, you would smile and say, prayer is useless. In the Psalms it says, the Lord hath done that which pleased him. And so what good does it do for you and me to speak to God? The Lord has done that which pleased him. It says he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And yet, would God tell us to do something that would have no effect upon his will? Did we not read that Elijah prayed and God stopped the rain? And he prayed again and God gave the rain? You say, well, there is something going on here that is inexplicable. Indeed, it is. There are things that Arminians will never understand about the ways of God. And there are things that Calvinists will never understand about the will of God. And if you find a distinct promise in the scripture that leans toward Arminianism, follow that scripture. And if you find a scripture that leans toward the Calvinist, pray that prayer. Use that scripture. Because God is the only one that can put them both together. But I, as a finite preacher, can read them and pray and act upon them, even though I am not able to comprehend them. I remember the Lord Jesus said this, that there was a poor woman that went to a judge, the unjust judge, and prayed, "Do me justice of my adversary." And he would not for a while. But because of her continual coming, he said, "I'm going to answer this woman's prayer, lest by her continual coming, she bruise me." And the Lord Jesus said this, "And shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night, though he is long suffering over them? Yea, he will avenge them speedily." Now think of that contradiction. God is going to avenge them speedily, and yet the Savior says they are crying to him day and night. Think of Mary and Martha praying for their brother Lazarus. And the Lord waits 4 days before he comes in answer to that prayer. And yet the Lord Jesus said, he will avenge them speedily. And so here is a prayer, a request sent to our Savior. And the Savior waits 4 days. And so just remember this verse that Paul gave us. It says, concerning the workings of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. And so if his ways are unsearchable, you cannot search them. And if they are past finding out, you cannot find them out. You simply act by faith according to what is set forth in the Word of God. And you leave the outcome to him. And when the outcome does come to pass, you say, God hath done that which pleased him. And yet God might say, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, in this instance, my mind would not be toward them. But I remember when God said to Moses, let me alone. I will destroy the nation of Israel and make of thee a greater people. And Moses interceded, and God said, you change my decision, and I'm going to preserve Israel. Who can understand such a thing? On other occasions, he says this. He said, do not pray for this people. He said, it will do no good. I'm determined to destroy them. And so at times God says, pray. And at other times God says, do not pray. And so for that reason, though the ways of God are inscrutable, I'm going to pray for the things that God has laid upon my heart, whether I can understand the way he will answer that prayer or not. And so in the case of the prayers of these three mothers, here are two have prayed, and I will tell you another in the will of God, another mother who prayed, whose prayer was found in the Bible. But here are two who prayed to God, and God answered those prayers. Not this time the prayers of women, but the men, but the prayers of women, and not just the prayers of women, but the prayers of mothers. And the first prayer, chronologically, is that of Hannah, and the second is of that Syrophoenician woman, and the third prayer of another mother in Israel. And in the case of all three, God answered those prayers. But those prayers were not answered speedily according to our thinking, but according to God's reckoning, God's ways, And because of that, as I read of prayers that have been prayed in the Bible, I understand about the potency of prayer, and that there is no statute of limitations upon a prayer once that it is offered, and also the inclusiveness of prayer, that no one, because of nationality, is excluded, that we cannot pray for them. And all of these things are taught us by what we have read and what I want to tell you in time about the prayers of three mothers. Think now, in the first instance, we have a woman who as yet was not a mother, and yet she who is to be a mother of one of the most famous in Israel, one of the great judges in Israel, prays. And this prayer was not uttered at first, and the reason it eventually was uttered was because God had shut up her womb. I know why she wanted a child in the first place, because Peninnah, her rival, had children, and Elkanah had two wives, and he loved Hannah, and he must have loved Peninnah somewhat. He married her, but not so much as he loved Hannah, like Rachel and Leah. And because of that, and Peninnah saw that she was loved more than she, Peninnah provoked Hannah day after day, year after year. Now, Hannah had been praying for children before. But finally, when God would not answer her prayer, then she prayed a prayer this way. Lord, I have wanted a son, and I am filling in. I have wanted a son because of my jealousy of the children of Peninnah. But now, Lord, I want a son. And if you give me a son, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. And the Lord said, now I can listen to that prayer. You see the difference? Suppose early God had answered that prayer and given her Samuel, and eventually God gave her five more, three sons and two daughters. If you add Samuel, that's half a dozen children. And so that is what God eventually did, but in his own time. Because if God had given those children to her at first, then she would go to Peninnah and say, you were speaking of your children? Why, I have six children. Now, how many children do you have? The pride because of the giving birth to children. But now, when a child is born, she's not able to retort. She is not able to cast into the face of Peninnah, you see what God has done for me? But what she does is to take that child, and it now is covered over with a spiritual purpose, and she gives that child to the Lord. Now think, the prayers that you have asked, the things that you may have prayed for your children, are they prayers that will glorify God, or are they prayers that will glorify you? Prayers that will destroy your children. My heart is broken now as I think of mothers who have daughters. And I know what this woman wanted her daughter to be. And I'm crushed to think that that daughter is becoming what her mother wanted her to be. And yet there are others who have not been given children. And the Bible speaks this way. Children are an heritage of the Lord. But our Savior says this, a time is coming when you shall say, blessed are the barren and they who gave birth to no children. Blessed are the breasts that were never sucked. And so there are times when it is a blessing of God not to give children. There is a period in which you're going to live. And God says, at that time, it will be a blessing. He said, pray that you be not the child. Pray that your flight be not at winter. Pray that it be not on the Sabbath day. And so there are conditions that are going to prevail. And when we go to God in prayer, let us not look around on others and say, Lord, I want to be as spiritual. I want to be as gifted as they. And I want my children to rise in life to a degree higher than the children of all those round about me. Well, may God never answer the prayer that you pray to God that way. But finally, if your heart is broken and you pray to God, give me a child and let these children be given back to you their whole life long, then I say, Lord, answer that prayer. It is so good that old Eli, half blind, criticizing this woman, when he has it explained why this woman is praying the way that she does, Eli said, the Lord grant thee the petition that you have asked of him. And the Lord answered that old man's prayer in conjunction with her prayer, and Elkanah knew his wife, and in the period of time, then little Samuel came forth. And this is the encouragement, that though Hannah had been depressed, and she could pray Psalm 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet rejoice. I shall see the light of his countenance. But after Eli said, go thy way, and the Lord answer your prayer, it said that all her depression was lifted, and she went her way and ate and drank, and she knew that God was going to answer that prayer. She was given no assurance when she wanted a child in competition with Peninnah. But when she had said, I'm going to give the child to you, and Eli concurred with her in her prayer, then all her worries were gone, and she knew that the child was going to come. And it's like this. Here is Abraham, 100 years old, and his wife, 90 years old. And he gives them one child, Isaac. But then after, he marries again when Sarah has died, and God gives him child after child after child. And so here is Hannah who prays for one, and God gives her 5 or 6 children. And so, remember the speedy way of God. And remember, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. And God has his ways. And your way and mine is one day is 24 hours. But God's way is a day to me is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And to remember there is God's reckoning and your reckoning. It has to be that way. If not, you read the Bible and you are filled with confusion and you understand that God does not answer according to his promises in the Bible, but he does. It says this again and again. There is not promised one good thing. There is not failed of all that you promised one good thing. And in God's time and in God's way, God answers prayer. And so here is a woman, and God wanted to answer her prayer, but he wanted to answer it for a double blessing to this woman. I find this, that when Samuel did come, you can read her prayer, and in it you can see her casting a glance at Peninnah when she is mentioned obliquely in that prayer. But at first, there was no jealousy at all. And then finally, when she has all these other children, she can say, as Elizabeth said in her old age, God hath taken away my reproach among men. And that is what Hannah could say, and that is what Elizabeth could say. And yet some, at certain periods of time in history, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are you if you have never had children, if you have never nursed children. So, leave the outcome to God. Paul says, concerning the times, it's good if a man does not get married because of the times. And at other times, if a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So understand the times, the seasons of God. It says concerning Israel, it was not the season of figs. And so God has his seasons. And now you will find that Hannah prays God and thanks God that in his time and way he gave her one child, and then exceeding abundantly of all that she asked or thought. And so this is the prayer of this woman, a woman who, being a child of Israel, had a claim upon God, and she laid hold on that claim, and God answered her prayer. The second mother who prayed was not praying for a child, but she was praying for a child that she had already born. But that child had fallen under demonic power. And this mother had looked upon this child that she brought into the world, and now it was no more her child, but her child was grievously vexed of a demon. But it tells us this, and whether we like it or not, it's what God's word says. It speaks about to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the Lord Jesus, when this woman comes and says, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. And it says, the Lord did not answer her one word. And so this woman goes and starts crying to Peter and Andrew and James and John, the apostles. And she so aggravates them that they come to the Lord and they say, Lord, send the woman away. She's coming to us. Get rid of this woman. And the Lord Jesus said to them, I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then the woman leaves the apostles alone, and she comes and she falls upon her face and she says, Lord, help me. That is all. And the full account, you have to read it in Matthew 15 and in Mark 7. The full account says this. It is not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Woman, I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Other things are added that he said. And so Mark gives the full account here. Matthew gives a fuller account concerning other things. But here the Savior finally speaks to the woman and says, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now think, here is this woman who is a Gentile, who is not of the children of Israel, and she is praying to God. What claim does she have upon God? We have no evidence that she was a child of God, and we know she was not one of the children of Israel, one of the chosen of God. And yet she comes and prays to the Lord Jesus. Now, there are two things the Bible says about the coming of our Savior. He came to fulfill the promises of the covenant to the children of Israel. And yet you find in John chapter 4 that he is spoken of as the Savior of the world. And I like that better. Being a Gentile and wanting to preach the gospel to every creature, and now that's what we're supposed to do, I like to look upon him as the Savior of the world. But at first, he went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he tells this woman this thing. Now the woman has an argument, an answer to what he told her. The answer she gave was exceptional, but I could read you also another answer she could have given to the Lord, and the Lord would have acknowledged that. One of the greatest prayers in the Bible is that which Solomon prays at the dedication of the temple, and among all the things that he prays, he says this. He says, concerning foreigners, those of another nation, he said, if they come and cry unto you in prayer, he said, answer their prayer. And the woman could have said to the Savior, this man that Jehovah loved in his youth prayed that if a foreigner came and spoke to you, you would answer her prayer. And the Lord would have acknowledged that. But what she did was to listen to the words of the Lord, his own words, when the Lord said, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And here is the diminutive of that. And she acknowledged it. She took her place. She accepted what God's Son had called her. And she said, what you say is true, Lord. You shouldn't take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, because even those little dogs under the table eat of the master's crumbs. And the Lord Jesus understood, and he surrendered. He said, for that saying, go thy way. The demon is gone out of your child. And the woman went home and saw her daughter laid upon the bed, and the demon was gone out of the child. And so here is what I've learned, that indeed some have claims upon God, because in hell, when the rich man looked and saw Abraham, he said, Father Abraham. And when those are coming out to be baptized of John the Baptist, he said, begin not to say within yourselves, we are the offspring of Abraham. What they were by birth, what claim they had upon God, John the Baptist would dash that claim. But here is a woman who has no national claim upon God, and she takes the words of the Savior and does not contradict them, but uses them in a way that is so beautiful that she says, I do not want you to take a loaf of bread from your children, Lord, but I simply want you to give me some of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the Lord Jesus said, yes. And so here I find that the second mother's prayer is not for a child, but for the condition of a child that God has given her. And so when a mother prays for a child, God can answer that prayer. And then when a mother has a child, and that child is under the control of Satan, then God can answer that prayer. And now, I want to tell you about another prayer that was found in the Bible, but in a different way, because as I look back over my ancestors, I find so many things. Most of them I won't tell you because they're bad, but once in a while I can find a good thing and I will tell you. But my great grandmother, after she died, had her Bible looked over by her children. She had 10 children. And this prayer was found in the Bible, my great-grandmother's Bible, and this is what it said in part. She said, Lord, my 10 children are but drops of water in the ocean. But my hope and my prayer is this, that they may sweeten the waters around them and may be shining ornaments in the faith of Jesus Christ. And her children had never known that her mother had prayed that prayer for her. But these 10 children knew her mother was a woman of prayer, and her husband, my great-grandfather, was a man of prayer all his life long. But she did not know that she had prayed that prayer for her children. And here, it is not for their salvation, but it is that my children might sweeten the waters around them, and that they might be shining ornaments in the faith of Jesus Christ. Have you mothers ever prayed such a prayer? Tell me, think of your children. Have they made the water sweet around them, or have they fouled the waters around them? Have they made them bitter, and have you been made ashamed, and also others round about made ashamed? And can now the waters that surround your children, have they been made sweet, or have they been defiled? For my great-grandmother prayed that her children might sweeten the waters and also might be shining ornaments in the Christian faith. And I know about what happened to some of her children, and concerning some of them, her prayer was answered. And concerning others, her prayer was not answered. But I told you this, that Solomon prayed, in the coming day, if a foreigner comes and looks toward this temple that I've built for you and prays, answer his prayer. Understand this concerning the Syrophoenician woman. You say, well, her gaze wasn't toward the temple. The Lord Jesus had previously said, a greater than the temple is here. And this woman was not looking at the temple in which God dwelt, but she was looking at him who was the temple. And so this foreigner has looked into the face of him who is greater than the temple, and God has answered that prayer. And so here is a woman now who is praying concerning those that are already children of God, a part of that temple. And so her prayer is answered for this reason. When Solomon prayed. He spoke of the future. And the future was answered in the case of this woman. Here is a foreign woman, and she prays, and God answers that prayer. And so there's no time limit on the prayers that you pray. And here is my great-grandmother, and her prayers evidently affected not only the things that happened to her children, but also her grandchildren and her great-grandchild. And here am I. And I trust that I've not muddied the waters too badly, and that I have not been a dull ornament of the faith of Jesus Christ. But the prayers that this woman offered 100 years ago are still being answered, and God's prayers can be answered for you. The prayers of 3 mothers, and none of them were in vain. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful that you look down from heaven and your ear is open to the cry of those who are deserving and those who are undeserving. And we are thankful, our God, that whether we deserve it or not, you answer prayers, and that gives us hope. And so let us learn from these mothers who prayed prayers, from women of God, from the Bible, and let all the mothers here have hope, and let them pray for their children, that their children may sweeten the waters around them, that they may be shining ornaments of the faith of Jesus Christ, and not things that contradict all that is sacred to them and all they stand for. Our Father, continue to answer the prayers of these mothers. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.